Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven.
Oh, man.
Face.
Oh, man.
Face.
Hey, guess what?
What it is.
Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 266. This is Jorge.
That's an old one.
This is Matt.
Hey.
How you been?
How you been?
How you been? This is Rhett.
This is Rhett.
This is Nasal.
Who's sitting across catty corner from me?
Hey, what's up, guys? Back for the fourth, count 'em, fourth time on the Who Goes There podcast.
Oh,
it's Brian Asman, horror writer extraordinaire slash
fourth
douchebag who's totally full of himself.
Fourth time?
How was that? Yeah. Was that okay?
Fourth time?
Yeah, I think
Brian sucks an ass, man.
You know, you forgot an accolade that you have.
Oh, what's that?
The newest owner of a copy of Prayer of the Roller Boys DVD.
yes, indeed. I do have a copy, and that movie has changed my life.
Yeah.
In all kinds of ways. I kind of like use that to divide my life now. Like there was like pre-Roller Boys Brian and post-Roller Boys Brian, and like the two don't have nothing to say to each other.
That's why his dick's so hard right now.
Post-Roller Boys Brian is so much more rad.
So much cooler. I get my dick sucked all the time now.
This isn't funny business.
This is fucking funny business.
Awesome business. Hella awesome.
No funny.
Synchronized rollerblading street gang.
So, Rhett, the reason why we've asked you here tonight is because we're all your friends and we all care about
you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Sabotage.
Listen, all y'all.
I'm getting blindsided.
Look, I can't
stand it.
The only reason you're still getting us accosted for it is because you're playing into it. I still haven't seen this piece of shit movie, and I doubt I will.
Well, you weren't asked to.
See, the thing is, though, this isn't in your wheelhouse. I mean, like, you might enjoy it, but like, with how much Rhett loves The Room, I'm like, all right, you want something.
It's a
'90s like
movie
super
about rollerblading. What isn't that?
Dude,
about me.
Dude.
Dude, you should watch it. It's amazing.
We should watch it. And here's the thing. Here's the thing, Matt. 100%. If I was a single dude.
Oh.
No, I'm serious.
Hold on.
Let me fucking.
Hi, Sophia.
He's gonna blame you real quick.
I'm not blaming you. I'm not blaming you at all.
If I was a single dude, I would have watched Roller Boys.
We put on the first 10 minutes like a month ago. And she was just like, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to watch this by myself.
It blew your hair back.
You've run out.
I very rarely watch anything by myself.
You've run out of by yourself time is kind of the deal.
Pretty fucking
much. Yeah.
When I am by myself, it's gym time or it's like reading time. Like, I'm not going to, like, I would have to really be hard up to watch Roller Boys
So you could read, if you put subtitles on Prayer of the Roller Boys, it's a DVD. It comes with subtitles. You can read while you watch.
That's what I mean. You guys find, we've been together 9 months. If you remember the first 9 months of being together, it's not time to watch movies by myself. Bro, it's not happening. Give it 5 years.
We've been together 2 years.
No, I'm just kidding.
When are you gonna make some time for me?
Yeah.
When are you gonna put aside an hour and a half to make my dreams come true?
I watched fucking Pig and August Underground Mortar.
It's true. I watched Dead Ringers. Okay. That's
fantastic movie. But you're welcome.
Way different.
But the ratio is still way off.
No, but yeah, you actually.
Sa.
I don't want to. I'm not complaining. Like, I do want to watch the movie.
No, I'm complaining. So,
I know.
The really weird thing is too. There's like a whole genre of post-apocalyptic rollerblade movies.
Are there? Is it a subgenre?
It's not just Prayer of the Roller Boys, which I think is actually very timely considering everything going on in our society today.
True.
But like,
I saw the COVID-19 delivery drivers at the beginning.
Yeah.
Where they have AK-47s.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
masks.
Yeah, they got the delivery drivers. They have like this gang of like white supremacists who go around on rollerblades, which basically ripped from the news. It's kind of like a Law and Order episode.
It's the alt-right, but with
instead of
torches, they have rollerblades.
Which is, I think, worse.
Actually, that would be more effective.
They were calling for Day of the Rope and Prayer of the Roller Boys, and now people are getting hung in the streets. It's fucking super timely. Hmm. Hella timely.
Super timely.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's something else.
Hey,
and
Matt.
And we already had an idea of how to write the best Roller Boys sequel ever.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for that.
Yeah. And we're going to write it and we're going to make it because I think we can probably do it for about $15,000.
Yeah. And it's very pro pizza.
It's super pro pizza.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It's very pro pizza.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It's about dystopian future where pizza is illegal. And so it's about the pizza black market and the gangs that are warring to control the pizza trade.
Why is there a pizza black market?
Well, see, you would understand. You would understand if you watched the movie, because I don't want to spoil it for you. But like, there's things that revolve around.
Why is pizza illegal in this universe?
Yeah, come on.
Well, we can't tell you. That ruins the
Well,
movie.
Why is anything illegal
if
anywhere?
Seen the
it's
movie,
like a Christopher Nolan movie.
If
like,
we'd seen the movie,
just to know,
why it just is. Pizza illegal? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't worry about it. It just is.
In a world where pizza is illegal.
We've already worked all this out. Yeah. But like, we can't tell Rhett because he hasn't seen it. Like, you have to watch the movie to understand, because if we start telling you about parts of the sequel, you're gonna be like, well, fuck, now
it won't make
know.
Any sense
now that we're meeting in person. I was down for that anyway, but let's do a live watch thing again.
Yes.
That was one of the better that was fun as fuck when we did that, don't you think,
dude? I want to do like an entire extreme sports movie festival.
You're right, dude. Matt is on an unusual good one tonight, and I don't know if it's because he's actually got free will to get stoned.
It's because I'm actually sober and I'm in the process of getting stoned.
I'm gonna
get high on
several things
down.
Right now
I'll mellow down, but I'm right now I'm like, bah, 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 bah,
he's got Brian here. He had a fun time eating all the meat with Starship Troopers on Sunday.
That was 2 days ago.
It's the summer solstice, and his ancient Celtic fucking shit is all riled up.
There you go.
His
dick's all super hard. Yeah. And he gets to team up on me with Brian about Prayer of the Motherfucking Roller Boys.
That's true. Right there, homie. Oh.
Yeah, there you go. Got if him. One of those sticks, then I'm good.
All right. And
that's what she said.
Matthew. Uh-oh, he's got the COVID.
Water went down the wrong way.
He's got the COVID pop.
I had to get that. That's what she said joke. It's timing. It's everything.
You okay?
I'm good.
Should I skip you?
I'm just drowning.
No, I want you to do it now. Hey, Matt, what'd you watch?
You want to know what I watched? Fuck all. It's been like 4 days since we recorded. I've watched nothing.
Did you start playing Last of Us?
No, I installed it, though.
Oh, well, then that's half the battle.
How was the installation?
Long. Very, very long. I had actually made space on my PS4 already. Imagine that.
They should have a website that reviews installations of games.
Yeah, we just recorded like 4 days ago. So I've been watching F is for Family came out on Netflix. So I've been watching season 4 of F is for Family. And then I've been reading... Curious Case or Curious Incident
curious
of the Dog.
Curious Curious Little Monkey.
Curious George's Nonstop.
Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime and playing Dead by Daylight. That's it.
The man with the yellow hat is so enigmatic.
Yeah.
So I've been hearing some controversial things about The Last of Us 2.
Yeah, I've heard it's kind of shit.
But I've only heard that from shitty user scores.
Well, okay, so the critics are all like 9 and up, but all the user scores I've seen, the majority of them are like one
star. So is it just
reviews.
Fucking mouth-breathing nerds that can't have a little bit of lesbianism in their fucking game?
Even without the context of playing the first one, because, you know, I like looking at reviews. Game reviews, too, are interesting for me because, you know, this shit's all subjective, right?
Yeah.
Like music is subjective. Movies are subjective. I feel, and it may sound weird, but music is super subjective. Like movies, to me, there's some criteria though. You got like the production values. You've got the acting. You've got like some kind of pseudo objective shit. Games, it's a little more cut and dry, but not completely. Like, are the graphics good? Is the gameplay good? Is the story good? If the gameplay sucks, then you know what I'm saying?
See, I'm thinking the gameplay is largely the same.
So what,
I think,
yeah, what they said was that it's a poor sequel, but a really, like, a few of them that I read said it was a poor sequel, but a really good game.
Well, see, I'm hearing most of the bad reviews that I'm hearing are that the first one had such a good, compelling story, and that the storytelling kind of like thrown.
I think that's what they meant.
Let's not forget that The Last of Us is really just a small story about a dude and his adoptive daughter. Like, it's not anything like, oh, fuck, you've really figured out something.
It's a good story, like, you know, Ellie going...
Gamers are all like Shakespearean lit majors. They want a really intricate storyline, dude.
Except me, I'm usually skipping it. I'm skipping the cutscenes. I'm like, oh, why are you still talking? But for Last of Us, that doesn't work, because it's basically a playable movie.
The good thing about The Last of Us is that they made the gameplay into the story. Like, it wasn't like it wasn't so much that you had to sit through cutscenes as you were playing the game. The story unfolded.
Yeah, it transitioned really smooth. The fact that they could have like conversations like while you're just walking through a field and it's not a cutscene of them doing it, that was a good thing.
Yeah.
But like, it was a very easy game. Like, the first time I played it correctly, you know, with the sneaking around and everything. But then on my second playthrough, I'd realized that it was actually just like patterns. And I ran through the entire thing, just hucking bricks at monsters and just basically not fighting anyone, because that's how
it became really mechanical.
Yeah. That's how easy the gameplay is once you actually get the hang of it. But you're doing it for the immersive story. And from what I've heard, the new game, the storytelling is just subpar. But that's the main complaint that I've heard. And then I guess like they focused a lot on Ellie's sexuality, and that's a big red flag for people.
Yeah, people are weird about that kind of shit, man. Like, I guess because she's not straight, people are upset. I don't know.
So a character based off of Ellen Page.
No, that one was Two Souls or Beyond Two Souls.
They're probably you know who they are. Just like that. Who's the they? No, it's the they that trashed movies that come out. They trashed the user score movies before they're released, like Captain Marvel and Black Panther. They trashed them before they were released because they hated the, oh, they're pandering to this. And it's like, dude, they're not pandering. It just happens to be Black Panther is a black guy. Like, sorry. Or like when they trashed fucking John Boyega being in Star Wars. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
They were pissed that there was a black stormtrooper. Or they got pissed that there was Miles Morales.
Because he wasn't a clone, yeah.
Like, they actually do this. I don't mean to, like, but I mean, they actually get fucking pissed about this.
Right, they're just shitheads who want to get pissed off about things, and it sucks.
Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast.
Well, no, the things they get pissed about is that, like, someone's black in Star Wars. Like, dude, that's okay. And there's fucking aliens.
Yeah,
in
I was
Star
gonna say
Wars.
In a whole like galaxy full of creatures.
Okay, so I can't believe I'm actually doing this, but just to. Not to defend some of these fucking idiots and of Star Wars of all things.
He's going to defend these
like the worst
idiots.
Fucking property in the world.
They don't even like Star Wars. So there's, I mean, your argument's invalid.
I didn't like Star Wars. But from my understanding of that, like the thing was like the stormtroopers were all fucking clones.
Yeah.
And that's why they're like, it doesn't make sense because the stormtroopers were all clones of Fardo Buttfuck or whoever.
But,
and so it was like not canon.
But those
or
guys
shit.
All got blown the fuck up.
Yeah,
they needed to. Exactly. They needed to get.
Weren't they like
30 years
of Jango Fett?
Yeah,
yeah. Those guys. That's a. Yeah, their logic there. There's been 30 years between the clones and the new stormtroopers. So
the people getting mad knew this though.
They're just pissed that there's a black guy. Yeah, that's really it. I mean, that's about the size of it.
It's not.
But did they get pissed off about Lando Calrissian?
No, they didn't. Because
he's not a stormtrooper.
Because they have. The black guy that they're okay with from their childhood.
Let's be real.
And they can't do anything beyond that.
I think they're upset that there was a stormtrooper who could actually shoot and hit a target.
Mm.
That's a good point.
That's what it was. Mm. They're like, that's not canon. I don't care that he's black because I can't see under everybody else's hood, but he can shoot. That doesn't work.
I just want to add something though. Okay, so you're not a big fan of the Star Wars IP?
No.
I can respect that.
Big fan is not even
he's
like...
He's a big fan of the Star Wars IPA though.
Do you like... How do you feel about Empire Strikes Back specifically?
I've only seen parts of it.
Okay. Do you have a favorite of the series?
Which one is that?
Easily. Rogue One.
The good one.
Rogue One?
Yeah.
It
would be a perfect movie if they had Jar Jar Binks
second
in there.
Second one, sorry.
That was the only thing missing from the movie.
Dude, Jar Jar,
best
Star Wars character ever.
He's just gonna...
I love Jar Jar.
He's gonna do a thing.
We've been watching Clone Wars, the cartoon.
Don't do the voice, Matt.
Oh, we saw him big doo-doo now. I love that shit.
Dude, you should do the Disturbed voice and that voice back to back.
I can't.
Ooh,
there you go.
There it goes. That's cool. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Right. You love Jar Jar Binks?
I kind of do. He's so fucking irritating, but like he's so funny.
He's like the Matt Smith of Star Wars.
Jorge and I saw that film, and we slept outside.
We slept outside.
And it was great. It was fucking great at the Chula Vista Mall.
Yeah.
And I got schooled on Star Wars trivia by an essay. Like, this guy was wearing the Cortez and everything. He's all, you guys want to do some Star Wars trivia? We're playing like Star Wars Monopoly. People are listening to Rage Against the Machine and smoking weed and we're drinking all this shit. And I'm like, dude, I'll take you.
I'll smoke you, dude.
And I'm smoking a cigarette. He's like, you see that? That's you. I'll smoke you. I'm like, yeah, whatever. So I asked him something fucking lame. And then he's like, okay, yeah, what's the freight number of the Millennium Falcon? And I'm like, no one knows that. And then he gave some number. I'm like, you fucking made that up. And then he pulls out like a Star Wars encyclopedia from his
backpack. Because this was before smartphones, right?
And showed me that it was. And then I realized, like, there are people who just memorize this shit, and I'm not on that level. Like, I love Empire. Then I got really specific. Like, you know what? I don't like everything Star Wars. I like Empire Strikes Back. And I like this, and I like this. So I started getting more, like, selective. And then when Episode 1 ruined my fucking life.
Yeah.
Then it was much easier.
There was,
to be dude.
There
selective.
Was even a girl in line in front of us who had her boyfriend's ashes in this little vial.
Wow.
That had like this little altar set up to him, and it was crazy. It was crazy. See,
the first Star Wars movie I saw was Attack of the Clones, so the bar was really fucking low.
Yeah. Awful fucking movie.
So then I saw the one with Jar Jar, and I'm like, yo, I love this character because I had no connection to Star Wars at all.
Damn, yeah.
And then I went and I watched bitch. And then I damn, watched
that's a real in, old like, white bitch movie order.
That hurts my fucking soul. So if you've seen those movies first, when you hear someone like Star Wars, you're like, oh, they're fucking morons.
No, because like I've gone back and watched all of them at this point. Like I think I've seen every Star Wars movie now. And like the first three are good. I like the first three. The next 6 or 10 or 15 or whatever the fuck they made.
3,000.
Like, Solo and all those. I don't like any of
Star
those.
Star Wars 3,000.
Yeah.
I liked Rogue One.
Rogue One is great.
Yeah.
I liked Episode 7 too. I actually liked The Last Jedi. I know, which is like heretical.
Cool. And I liked The Mandalorian because they had Babu freaking.
The Mandalorian
I hated
is
the
best.
Last Jedi when I saw it. But then I saw Rise of Skywalker, and that made me love The Last Jedi. Like, I was like, wow, you don't know what you got till it's gone, man.
That's exactly right. No,
like,
because...
Holy shit.
Because Rise of Skywalker was just so, like, it took no chances. It made everything, it was just
they killed a character and then immediately brought them back no less than 4 times.
Yeah.
4 fucking times. Pulling that move once in a movie is fucking bullshit already. It's stupid. But if you do it 4 times, go fuck yourself.
That means he's right though. Because
5 times now.
All the stakes are like, there's no stakes in the movie because of that shit.
Yeah.
And it's part 9 of a series. Like the stakes need to be the heaviest they've ever been. Like compare it with did you see the Harry Potter series?
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Okay. Remember the last one?
Yeah.
That shit was fucking amazing. I'm not even a Harry Potter like huge guy at all. But, yeah, but like, you know, compare what the last Harry Potter film
all the Harry
to the last
Potters
fucking Star Wars film. Like, that is... All of them. That's fucking...
Favorite Harry Potter film. Go.
That's going to be Prisoner of Azkaban.
Go.
Fail. The troll one in the beginning.
I've only
Chamber
ever
of
seen
Secrets.
The first one.
Fail.
Really?
So the correct answer is Goblet of Fire.
Prisoner of Azkaban, Alfonso Cuarón directed it. Gary Oldman is fucking Sirius Black. That one is really good.
Pretty sure Sirius is in Goblet of Fire, too. So
it's
like,
weird. I have nothing against Harry Potter. I've just only ever seen the first movie. Like, I don't know why.
I was there, too. And then I decided to watch him, and I was like, wow.
Goblet of Fire gets dark. Like, after about...
I've heard that's the best book.
After the second one, for sure, it starts to get more dark. 3 is a little dark. 4 is just fucking... There's kids dying all over the place. It's... gnarly.
Oh man.
Plus, if you start it at the right time with Thrice's Visu, they line up perfectly. Try it. Just saying.
No thanks. But hey, Rhett.
By the way, real funny story about Harry Potter, the first Harry Potter, by the way, that's the only one I've seen. And the weekend I watched a couple movies that weekend. It was the weekend I got my vasectomy. So I was on the couch. I watched Shopping Mall and Harry Potter and the fucking whatever the first one was.
Damn. Your subconscious was having a fucking
ice on my balls.
Yeah.
Damn. Both y'all got it. I won.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, dude.
You probably can't remember your dreams that week, but that was probably some serious processing going on.
Oh, yeah.
I want a vasectomy too, dude. Yeah.
I do want one, dude.
I'd do it again if it meant not to have kids anymore. Fuck, man.
You get a second vasectomy and they just go away.
Yeah. They disappear. They just kind of fade away.
But, Dad, no!
Like, snap.
It's like fucking Back to the Future, except with a knife to the balls.
Yeah. Rhett.
Yeah.
What'd you watch, bro?
Okay, I continued Twin Peaks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, mm-hmm. I had mentioned before how the second season has kind of a bad rap, and I didn't understand why because I was about 7 episodes in when I said that. After episode 7, I mean, they have a big reveal in episode 7, and it's one of the best fucking episodes of the series, and it's one of David Lynch's, in my opinion, like finest hours.
Okay.
After that, this thing goes on for another until episode 22. So it goes on for another 15 episodes. And I still love the show by this point, but it starts doing these exposition dumps, which is totally not Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks is like not going to explain shit like that. And then I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? And I realized David Lynch had less and less to do with it as it went on.
Mm.
So even he realized it was a terrible show.
Well, wow. he's really pissed about season two, the original show. However, I'm fucking on board and there's still these moments and they've established this stuff. There's some serious throwaway characters here and there where you're just like, there's some fucker on a bike who's like, I'm just going to leave town and blah, blah. It's like, fucking go. Like, leave. Anyone who's watched the show knows exactly what I'm talking about. But anyway, the show is still like, when it fucking hits its vibe, like here and there, it's great. But I get what people are talking about with the second season now.
All irritated?
Yeah. However, I'm excited to fucking see the Twin Peaks Return thing that came out a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. That Lynch is, it's pure Lynch. Anyway, we did more Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm.
We being, hi, Sophia.
We already said hi.
I said hi. You did this. This is a thing again. Okay, so.
I'm bringing it back.
We watched another movie that Matt's wrong about, Aliens, the sequel now, the second one.
Boring. Boring ass movie.
You think Aliens is the boring one?
So good. Yeah.
Of the two.
Yeah.
He likes Alien. He likes the first one better.
The first one is much better. Everybody's like, oh, the second one's more action and it's crazier.
They're completely
matter.
Different.
But because you know why? And I've said it a thousand times.
That's why it's
times.
A great sequel, because it's a different great. Form of movie.
James Cameron said, I cannot fucking beat the first one at a gothic horror film in space, so I'm going to make a war film.
I prefer tension. And that first one is just tension. It's the cat and mouse game that being stalked through there. Second one is just too many aliens, too much action, too much bang, bang, shoot, shoot, skeet, skeet.
Hey, skeet him and yeet him.
Skeet, motherfucker.
No, I'm not
skeet,
a fan.
Skeet, motherfucker. What's up, Vanilla Face? Wait, so...
so stupid.
I watched Angel Heart because...
You sure did.
It's a fucking... It's a Rhett pick this week, and then... The movie's great. If you haven't seen it, watch it. And it's grown in stature over time, and I hope you guys watch it, but I don't know if it's right for an episode at this juncture. But it's Mickey Rourke. It's got voodoo. It's got blues. It takes place in the 40s. It's got black magic. It's got satanic stuff, and it's got ridiculous production design, and Mickey Rourke is acting his fucking... If you've never seen Mickey Rourke acting in his prime... And you're wondering what the fuck the big deal is with this guy who looks absolutely ridiculous now, hasn't done anything good since The Wrestler.
That movie was so good.
Iron Man was okay.
Iron Man 2?
Iron Man was okay.
Iron Man 2 was
not. You lose.
No,
you lose.
I want my bird.
You lose.
He was trolling Marvel. Like, he's all, yeah, I'll do your movie. This fucking sucks.
I like Iron Man 2, man.
Iron Man 2 is fun. It's.
Yeah, I'm just. It's not the lesser Marvel movies. We're not on the same level as The Wrestler if you watch Angel Heart, like, fuck, he's a good actor, dude. And De Niro has rarely been so chilling, dude. He has a scene. He has a scene with a fucking boiled egg that is just, like, masterful. It's great. That's why I was not prepared, in case Matt doesn't like that movie,
You're not ready for that.
I'm not ready for that right now.
Yeah, I can understand that.
And I think, especially, I think he's in a mood where he just wants to, like, he wants to trash something I like.
You don't know me, dog.
He just wants to destroy something beautiful.
He just wants to watch the world burn.
You don't know me.
Homie?
No, homie.
But I watched, we watched something else.
Was it Prayer of the Roller? Oh, wait, never mind.
No.
Is that joke ever going to get old?
I started watching that fucking Epstein documentary on Netflix.
Ooh.
Pedophile Island. Fucking great. It's a great thing. You got to watch this thing. That motherfucker.
Pedophilia, great.
No.
Quote it. Well, I mean, Pedophilia Island, it's a great thing. Well, Rhett Creel 2020.
Say what you will about Jeffrey Epstein. Obviously, the man was a horrible person.
Oh, boy. I can't wait to see where this goes.
But. His alleged suicide is the only thing that's brought our country together since 9/11.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I mean,
yeah.
Like, I don't know.
That was the only moments in 20 years when both the left and the right put aside their differences to go, yeah, no way this motherfucker
killed
himself.
Only to forget it, because if you bring up to someone on the right that Donald Trump fucking was like hey, he's hanging out on the island. They're like, oh, no. Like, yes, yes, he was. Yes, there are various. Go Google images with Donald Trump and his buddy Epstein. And
oh, yeah.
There are copious pictures.
Yeah.
Of the two of them. So anyway.
Yeah. It's all a charade. These people are all friends and they're all fucking us over.
Yeah. Pretty fucking much. Not even pretty much. That's it.
That's it.
That's
just,
it.
Just
yeah.
much.
And if you watch this fucking documentary, it's not like Ancient Aliens or something. Like, it's like, oh, okay. Yep. Well, that's what's happening.
They've got the receipts.
Yeah, pretty much, man. And then also this guy, he has all this fucking income and it's like, what's his profession? Nobody knows. Oh, I think we know what he's doing.
Right.
Yeah. I think we do know his profession. It's off the books, you know? Anyway, so if you want to watch Pedophile Island, that's on Netflix, as most of you probably know.
Yeah, kind of like Temptation Island, but worse.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Fantasy Island was... you should watch Fantasy. Yeah. Did you watch that this year, Brian?
No, I didn't because it looked awful.
It was awful.
One of my coworkers just the other day was like, oh, you know what? I paid money to watch that movie Fantasy Island, and I instantly laughed in her face.
I had the AMC, of course, the what's it called?
No, she rented it.
No, that shit's a mistake. Don't ever pay money to watch Fantasy
Island. That's just a mistake.
Yeah. What about you, Brian?
Let's see. What have I watched? Well, I've been watching some really amazing flicks lately. So I watched The Fanatic like 8 more times. Because it's one of the best movies ever made, obviously.
We haven't talked about that lately.
Yeah, Prayer of the Roller Boys, definitely. That got me on this like weird like 90s post-apocalyptic kick.
Like horrible, good horrible films.
Yeah, so I watched like Double Dragon the movie the other day.
There you go.
Which was better.
See, that would be a good than podcast. I remembered. Like these kind of movies, and that's it.
Dude.
Just bad. Horrible.
No, that's How Did This Get Made. I was gonna say they literally did an episode on Double Dragon recently. And oh my god, it's bad.
It's weird and bizarre, but at the same time, there's all these weird decisions in the movie. Like they have a car that runs on trash, for example, and there's a scene where they're just like shoving trash into the burner of their car so they can get away from like a fucking gang and like a garbage truck.
They saw the end of Back to the Future and thought you could actually
that's
do
the
that.
Move,
yeah. Bro. Yeah. Alyssa Milano's pants. That's it. Just Google Alyssa Milano pants yeah. Double Dragon.
We're the power core.
Ooh,
check
yeah.
it.
Ooh. So yeah, that was good. I watched the first 27 minutes of Scare Package, and then I watched. I've been watching The Sopranos. Actually,
that's what Red called his dick. Actually,
I
the Scare Package.
Yeah.
You
fucking
yeah.
got him.
Up. Yep. Yeah.
So, Sophia's like, why do they always talk about your D?
And Rhett's like, well, you've seen it.
Yeah, yeah, it's a different conversation. Yes.
I mean, for everyone at home, Rhett literally has his dick out right now. He's just kind of like, it's like not aggressive.
He's
like,
petting
you know, it's
just
it like the
flaccid, way Dr. Claw pet you know, his cat
sitting
Inspector
there.
Gadget.
Yeah. Via ways of making you talk.
He's using his dick instead of a mic stand. Wow.
Dr. Claw, that's fucking...
I'll get you, Gadget.
Ooh, that was
Jesus
good.
Jesus Christ, what
that
the fuck?
That was a solid Dr. Claw.
That was good.
Thanks very much. That's why. It's because I talk to my dick like that. That's why.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Did you guys ever see the action figure of Dr. Claw?
No. Was it
you know
just
what he actually looks
it?
Like?
No. What does he look like?
Okay, so imagine Dr. Wily, but skinnier and taller with like
really?
Two little like wafts of hair coming off of his head.
Oh,
it was,
shit.
It came in a fast food toy. It was like a fast food
oh,
toy.
Oh, that's terrible.
That revealed what he looks like. And it's a total joke.
Oh, God. No, he looks like Mugatu.
Oh, he kind of does.
Yeah,
from Zoolander. I was just watching this video earlier. It was like cartoon conspiracy theories, and there was a conspiracy that like Claw was actually the original Inspector Gadget, who was thought to have died in an explosion, and Penny like built you know her new uncle out of the like robot parts, and that's why Gadget's always bumbling shit up, and Claw never actually. Does anything because he doesn't want to hurt his niece.
Mm-hmm.
He just wants to destroy the fake version of himself. That's why you never see his face, but then like this.
Yeah.
That's a really compelling theory, actually.
It was pretty, I was like, damn, that, I mean, that kind of
like,
sense.
I was compelled.
Yeah.
Were you compelled by
isn't
the Inspector
like
Gadget
Skyfall?
Movie with Matthew Broderick?
Hell yeah, dude. That thing is a shit show.
They had a sequel, too.
Matthew.
Yeah.
Any news we should talk about, brother?
There was two interesting things that I had seen. I'm going to go with the one that's least interesting to me. VHS is being rebooted, and they're doing a new anthology film that's rewinding back to 1994.
1994!
So like, yeah, so it's like the you know, the 90s. There's not...
Found footage in the 90s?
I'm excited.
I'm full mast.
Yeah. Why are you like that?
Same, dude.
I'm full mast.
Like, I know that's your thing, but what if it's not good?
So what, dude?
That's it. You're already You've already just gone in.
I'm in.
So
well, but like any movie you go into, you don't know if it's gonna be good or not until you watch it.
That's
right?
Exactly so right. Like, that's well, you know, yeah. But I mean, who's the, making the fact, it? The who's fact, making? Who's writing it? Who's blah blah blah? All that good stuff, and you don't give a fuck about that. It's just like '90s found footage.
I'm so in. Sometimes you get a premise that's that good that you just go, "Yep, I'm all in."
Dude, I hate it when the premise is good and then the movie sucks. I was talking to guys on Discord about it, Flatliners.
So they've announced some of the people who...
As long as it's not the sauce, because I don't care who's in it.
No. Hopefully they never work again.
Hopefully.
Yeah, David Buckner spearheading the whole thing. He directed Amateur Night from the first VHS.
I'm in.
That was a good one.
Okay.
Then there is Simon Barrett, who did one of the ones in the... in the first one, or in VHS 2, I think. I can't remember which one. But he was also in, or he wrote A Horrible Way to Die, You're Next, The Guest, and Blair Witch.
I'm in.
So he works with Adam Wingard.
Except for that Blair Witch nonsense.
I went on Twitter to like say something shitty to Adam Wingard and found out that he had deleted his Twitter because of like how much hate he got from Death Note.
That movie was awful. I loved
it. It was so bad. I forgot what I wanted to go talk shit about, but it was something else new. And I was like, God damn you, Adam Wingard. Oh, it's because he's going to fuck up. Kong versus Godzilla, or Godzilla versus Kong. That's what it is. Mm.
He's directing that?
Yeah. I went to go complain on Twitter about that. Bitch, that's a mistake.
That's a mistake.
Like, I like a number of his movies, but he's been on such a downward trend for the last, like, 7 years that, like, it's odd that he would get that big of a job.
Doesn't that encompass his whole career?
Like, no offense to Adam Wingard, but, like, you know, like, it seems odd that they'd tap him for that when his last couple movies, like, you know, Death Note?
Yeah.
And fucking Blair Witch.
Yep. Yeah. The last good one was The Guest, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah, Guest was great, though.
Yeah, The Guest, and I loved Your Next.
Like, so did I. Like, I loved Your Next, too.
I think he's a talented director, for sure. It's just the last couple have not come together for whatever reason.
I agree.
So also working on VHS are Radio Silence, who made Ready or Not from last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, God, this is something George should be saying. Timo Tejanto. To something like that,
yes.
Who did Safe Haven from VHS 2?
One of the best.
Not even one of them, just hands down the best.
If they didn't bring that director back, I'd have been upset.
Yeah.
So yeah,
Timo,
that is going to be phenomenal.
Not going to work here anymore. That's for sure.
I think he was also involved with The Night Comes for Us, right?
Was he? Yeah. Maybe.
It comes at night.
No. The night comes for us. Which is
also bad.
Yeah. I twist the words around.
Yeah, I swear to God, you watch a movie like that, you're like, why did they let anyone who's not Indonesian make action movies ever?
Because, fuck yeah, dude.
Like, the sheer brutality in Indonesian action movies is just fucking ridiculous. Movies, the beautiful people of
Quick
Indonesia.
Quick shout out Indonesia, China.
Indonesian movies.
Our fact checker's on vacation, so.
Yeah.
That doesn't have anything to do with why they have good.
I mean, it took all of our resources to get the Joey Buttafuoco story right earlier, so
we can't fact check anything else. What are you interested in news wise?
Unsolved Mysteries is coming back to Netflix.
Ooh, but are they gonna have the song?
So see, that's what I was telling
I need the song.
Alia earlier was like, there's two things they really need. They need really good spooky music. And they need a really good narrator. Because that's all anybody really cared about. The reenactments were fun.
What if they got M. Night Shyamalan?
No.
M. Night Shyamalama Ding Dong to host Unsolved Mysteries.
You need somebody that's got like that smoker's voice, you know? Like Robert Stack?
Yeah, that'd be fucking great. I was just saying, like, what if they got something shitty?
Wait, I got an idea. What if they announced that the narrator's going to be M. Night Shyamalan? And when the first episode premieres, the twist is... it's Gary Busey.
Ooh.
Look, if they ain't...
Yo, I could get behind Busey.
Yeah.
If they ain't got this.
Yeah. Oh, dude, that used to send like chills down my spine when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Stanley, did you guys ever see that Jesse the Body Ventura like show?
Oh, which one?
Yeah, he had his own conspiracy theory.
Why have
show.
They not sampled that?
It's about like lizard people and shit.
I do remember that.
Yeah, Jesse Ventura shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was called like, I don't know, like Conspiracified or something with Jesse Ventura.
I like it when literal politicians are saying that this shit is happening. It's like, oh, maybe some of this has some credibility.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, but although... To be fair, he was a governor, and so I'm not sure how much the Pentagon is sharing with him.
Dude,
but.
He has full access to Area 51. Who did it?
I don't know. It's some dubstep remix.
Turn it off.
Incidentally, if there was ever anything in Area 51, it's definitely not there now.
Oh, fuck no. That's right. The diversion. Yeah. They've got probably, you know, it's 50 other bases that no one's looking at.
Yeah.
Because Area 51 is like, hey, Groom Lake, it's all over here. Bullshit. I agree. Well, it doesn't matter if I agree.
Yeah.
That's fucking it how doesn't. It is.
You'll never Naruto run it's, past the guards.
It's all Dolce Air Force Base anyways.
Dude, you don't know. You don't know what's going on.
Google that.
Get ready for the drop, dude.
Hey, turn this.
Yeah.
That was an awful drop.
That was no good. That was made by Zalian on YouTube.
Zalian, stop it.
You done fucked up.
You fucked up on your drop.
Matthew, anything else?
No, that's it, dude.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're right back to talk about a movie.
I want to talk about something real quick.
What do you want to talk about?
Joel Shitmaker died.
Yeah, whatever.
I want to know. Just for fun, because people love Lost Boys. People love this movie. I've never liked The Lost Boys.
I've never liked it.
Did you like it?
I don't like Lost Boys.
What do you think, Matt?
I don't like Lost Boys.
I like it.
Okay.
But then again, I also like Batman and Robin.
Yeah,
I own Batman and Robin because it's horrible.
That's the one, though. That's the one.
Yeah. He also, 8mm was a good movie. He made 8mm.
I like 8mm. I'd say a lot of that's because of the screenwriter.
Yeah. I will say, I feel like Schumacher has a very complicated legacy. Like, it's not just he made awful movies. He made some awful movies. He made some great movies. Yeah. Like, he made...
Falling Down was solid.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was a great movie.
That's my favorite movie of his.
That's what I was thinking about the other day when we were arguing about music, and you're like, you're commercially viable, and I was like, but I'm not economically viable, which is a line from
dude. You're going deep right now, bro. What?
Yeah. What?
No, just kidding.
When you and I were arguing about music because you were listening to that shitty Code Orange band.
Hey, okay.
And, okay. Oh, dude. Okay, hold on. I gotta tell you. He posts this gym video and he's tagged this band in it, and like, you know, later he's like, you only listen to shit that old other white bitches like. And then, but like just before that, he had sent me a screenshot of critics raving about how good this band is. And it's like, you literally are justifying your argument by showing me what other people think about it.
My point was.
He's like, this is how you know it's good because these other people say it's
that's
good.
That's not what I said.
No, but that's
they're
what
you're
implying.
They're currently leading the scene. So the hardcore scene. Likes them.
If Code Orange
critics like them,
hardcore now, like, no thank you.
They are hardcore now. That and is so is Knocked Loose. That is gross. And so is,
I don't know Knocked Loose, but that Code Orange is bad.
You heard one song on a wrestling fucking event.
Bad.
That is not adequate to make that determination. See? That's
no,
why, that's
I could tell. I only need to hear Down With The Sickness to know that I'm not a Disturbed fan.
No, like, yes you are.
No, I'm not.
I thought we were going to see them when they come.
It's different. I am. That, 100%.
That's not seeing them because
like
I'm a fan.
I think we should watch and go see only bands we hate for like
forever.
The rest of our life.
So we're
like
going
never
to see
not
Opera and
go
Punisher.
See another show unironically.
We'll go see Daughters.
Dude, you
no, I like Daughters. That's
that.
The thing.
He likes Daughters.
I'll go see Daughters.
I like Daughters.
He just doesn't bow down to them like because it wasn't, it didn't, that album didn't come for him at a. Right after another, his 15th existential fucking crisis.
Don't call me daughters.
Yeah, it's not
that's
that
what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Not fair to.
Wow. My beauty.
Where am I?
All right, we'll be right back, dummies.
Get it.
Hey, man.
Sorted.
So you like Knocked Loose?
Knocked Loose is pretty good. I do not like Code Orange.
That's all right.
At all.
That's all right, dude.
I like Agent Orange.
Yeah, me too.
It's controversial.
You don't like Amoeba, dude?
I like it when Zen monks light themselves on fire.
Wow.
Oh, so you like Rage Against the Machine.
Wait, I was talking about the band Agent Orange, not the actual... not the actual fucking atrocity. Like, I like the punk band, not the war crime, dick.
That's controversial, dude. To like Agent Orange.
Yeah, buddy.
Guess what, dude?
We're back.
Somehow. We've
I like Napalm Death.
Yeah, me too.
The band.
Oh.
That's controversial.
Do you have to specify that, dude? I like mustard gas. The stuff.
That's
like,
when you mix.
I like mustard plug, the band.
Bathtub cleaner with Windex is mustard gas, bro.
And yeah, bleach and ammonia.
That's right.
It's mustard gas.
Mustard gas, dude.
That's how you kill yourself cleaning your toilet.
Matthew.
Yeah, buddy.
What's up with the Patreon, homie?
Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere Podcast is how you are spending your summer vacation. That's right. By going to Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere Podcast, you get all kinds of bonus stuff from us, like exclusive content, bonus episodes, exclusive merchandise, and access to the Patreon-only Discord. And in return, you just got to give us a little bit of money or a lot of bit of money, and we can continue doing this show that you so love. You know what we had to buy this week? Coolers for our fucking computers because they shit the bed, and we can't do the show without computers. So guess what? We need Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere Podcast. And you can help us do that. Brian helps us do that.
Brian, I totally do. I give these guys like 10 bucks a month.
For like years.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. And hand jobs.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, we've got a couple special treats coming up for Patreon.
We do.
Soon.
Tweets.
One that I can't announce and one because it hasn't been created yet. But the other one, I mentioned it last episode, but the tapeworm games from Edmund McMillan are on the way.
You're going to be losing a lot of weight when you get your tapeworm.
Yeah.
It's going to cost us a lot to ship that.
It's going to cost us a lot to ship, but that's okay because we love you.
And a Patreon reward that we don't have to ship is our new episode exclusive on Poultrygeist. What is it? Night of the Chicken Dead?
Poultrygeist is good.
Poultrygeist by Troma.
Good.
That episode's coming out. Should be out when this goes up. Probably. Maybe.
Who knows? It'll be out before then.
Yeah.
So probably.
There you go. Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere Podcast. Be hella tight.
Be pitch, hella bro. Tight. Be hella tight. Always be tight. Always be tight. That was just a mere distraction so I could pull up the title of this movie that we watched.
What?
The WhoGoesThere Podcast.
Totally seamless. No one noticed.
Pull up the title of the movie.
Self-referencing meta humor from Jorge.
Watched 1998's Dark City, billed as a mystery sci-fi thriller, directed by Alex Proyas, starring Rufus Sewell, Kiefer Sutherland, William Hurt, Jennifer Connelly, Richard O'Brien, Ian Richards, Connolly.
Jennifer Connelly pre-nose job.
Colony, Colin Frills, John Bluthal. What's the name of that creepy kid? What's his name? I don't know.
Haley Joel Smallface?
Haley Joel Bighead, but Smallface.
He's in What We Do in the Shadows.
The IMDb synopsis goes like this. And a man struggles with memories of his past, which includes a wife he cannot remember, and a nightmarish world no one else seems to be waking up from. Dudes! Hey, Matt.
Saw it, dude.
What'd you think of motherfucking Dark City, bro?
When I saw it in theaters, I did not like it. I have since come to really appreciate that movie. Because it's kind of like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind meets The Matrix, but good. And
wait, which one? So you didn't like Eternal Sunshine? Good?
The Matrix. Oh. The Matrix is not good.
Which see what I'm saying? He just does this thing. Here's the list of bad movies tonight. RoboCop, The Matrix,
yep.
Die Hard,
yep.
Aliens.
I didn't say Aliens was bad. I just said it was boring.
Yeah.
Oh my
god! Yeah, I thought for a second.
and we're dicks for not liking The Beyond.
Yeah,
it's our judgment. Question,
right? Two things can be true at the same time.
Yeah. It's true. It's not mutually exclusive. Yeah. That's true.
You're spinning in the face of an entire genre.
But it's our judgment that's questionable. That's four movies that are fucking bona fide classics.
True.
Versus The Beyond, which is at best.
To the world. To human beings.
To most everyone.
To
people
with discerning fucking.
To most everyone.
To people with rose-colored glasses for bad cinema.
Dumb son of a bitch.
I would wager body parts that the only person in the world who doesn't like
all four of those. Yeah, it's only this guy right here.
I guarantee it. We could go to fucking Timbuktu and never find another person who hated all four of those films.
Granted, the consensus is not always right. I get that.
I think, Brian, you're right, dude. We would have to take a big slice of humanity to get somebody who did not like those four movies.
Matt Smith is like a singularity of like fucking not liking these movies.
That's what I said. Understand. You don't know me, homie.
I'm
an enigma wrapped in a riddle, shrouded in mystery.
What movie
that you didn't like is that from? Because that's from a movie.
Is it?
You
I probably don't know. Didn't like. What is that?
It's probably Die Hard.
The Mask.
Oh God, what is that from?
Yeah, who knows? It's probably a Michael Myers movie.
Yeah, it was in the old Sam and Max comics by Steve Purcell.
It's from JFK. It's Joe Pesci when he's tripping out.
Is that where I heard it? It's a riddle
wrapped in an enigma, blah, 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 blah. He's all coked out and shit.
There you go. Wow.
Oh, so I heard it somewhere.
All right.
So anything else you want to add?
No, that's it.
All right. Brian. What do you think of Dark City?
Yeah. Well, I was going to make a joke about this ripping off The Matrix, but we've already talked about The Matrix. So, dude, I fucking love this movie, man. It's great. The aesthetic, it's kind of like this weird, like, if like Clive Barker were to remake Dick Tracy or something like that, like,
yep. Hell yeah.
It's fucking nuts.
Hell yeah.
You know,
hell motherfucking
you know,
year.
This is one of those movies that's basically perfectly calibrated for like me as a person, where it's got that darkness, it's got that horror, it's got sci-fi, it's got the noir like aspect to it. I fucking love this thing, and yeah, that's all I have to say about that.
Riggedy Rhett, I know what you feel about this movie, but
Do you?
I do, dude.
I watched it like more objectively than I have in years when I watched it for this show, because I was trying to pretend like I'd never seen the film until now, which is tough to do. And this movie is awful. I'm just kidding.
No. I regret my choice completely.
No, man. I've loved this movie since did you see it in the theater with me? I know I saw it with Donovan and Wesley.
Yeah, I saw it with you, and then we both have VHSs of this movie.
Yeah, we were early, because this movie was a commercial failure.
Oh, yeah. I saw it with Stevie Dio.
Yeah. This trailer, I remember seeing the trailer like, oh, we're fucking there, like, for this. We are there for this, right? And then, yeah, and over the years, it's grown in stature and all that. And that's why, like, this is one of those movies that when you see that happen in real time, when you see it, like, getting more respect as time goes, I'm still, like, looking for that movie, you know? Like, that's why I'm not, like, what was the movie that came out, like, 2 years ago? Fucking, and you guys shot down, but I'm like, I don't know if it's going to be one of those.
That movie that came out 2 years ago. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. The House That Jack Built. See, that one, I think it's already growing in stature. So here we go. Yeah, I really enjoy this movie. Some of the stuff is very, very 98. Like, there's some dodgy CGI. This is a very low budget movie, though. Like, it's extremely ambitious for what it's got to work with. And of course, the biggest asset of this movie is its ideas, though. It's fucking ideas, and it's production design. When you mentioned the influences, like Clive Barker and like 40s noir, like Dick Tracy, there's a bit of like a lot of Fritz Lang's Metropolis in there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, actually, yeah, the device below the city is that's just straight lifted from Metropolis.
For sure. And the fact that, this came out before The Matrix. Like, The Matrix, this, and Existence all came out within a couple years of each other.
Yeah.
So, Existence was tight.
Yeah, and this has been a very influential film to several people since then. Nolan fucking cites it as an influence for Inception particularly and whatnot. I love this movie. And I love this movie really sticks to the ending. Obviously, we can talk about that later. But the ending, like, kicks this up a notch to me, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, like, a super pessimistic ending like I like in movies like this a lot. But it's like a really transcendent ending.
It's transcendent, dude.
It's transcendent.
But it's earned, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like it's not one of these cheesy happy endings.
No.
It's these people went through some shit and fucking dug deep inside themselves. And, you know.
And there is a big payoff in this climax. It really gets going.
I guess we'll get there. But there's one thing about the climax that I didn't feel was adequately addressed, but we can get there.
Hell yeah.
You know, I feel like you do a lot in terms of like this movie hasn't aged well, I guess, in terms of like the effects and some of the things going on. Watching this as like a grown ass adult, I'm losing a little bit of the love for it a little bit.
The mystique is wearing.
The mystique has worn out a bit.
But we know where it's going.
Right.
Go ahead, sorry.
And so, you know, I still think it's a really well done movie, with the exception of some of, like it was mentioned, dodgy CGI, like that fucking head when he's doing the head movies, man. I'm like, what the fuck is this shit?
He's
projecting with the little fucking warps out of his head. I'm like, bro, this is who greenlit this shit? Because it looks terrible.
No.
Yeah, dude, when he's like, and takes out a fucking piece of the ground. I'm like, yikes, what's going on here?
There's a practical effect, which they have a lot of. They built a lot of great sets, great fucking sets.
They did a lot of it through miniatures.
Yeah, miniatures and all that, right? But there's one practical effect where a chimney is coming up on the side of a building that's mechanical.
Yeah.
And it just looks awful. like I'm like, can you bring that bad CGI back for this part? Yeah. Like, wow. But
and so did you guys watch the director's cut or the
director's cut?
I watched the Amazon cut.
Yeah, me too. It's like an hour 51.
That's the director's cut.
Yeah, the director's
cut. They took out the needless at in the other version, the theatrical version, they had a Kiefer Sutherland talking about the strangers.
There was a voiceover monologue at the beginning.
Yeah, to explain what's going on.
Right, and that definitely...
It's bullshit. We don't need that.
Yeah, and you have exposition dumps like two or three times.
It definitely kills... The director's cut definitely kills any mystery from the aliens, because up until the moment that... And spoilers, if you haven't seen Dark City. Up until the moment that, like, you see one of those fucking, like, brain worms pop out of one of their heads, you don't really know, you don't really know what the fuck is going on.
Exactly.
And so to have it explained as, like, and they were...
In the beginning, they were strangers.
And then the strangers were brought
to our planet. That's for me. That's for dum-dums who can't follow the story. No, seriously, because like I was thinking about it, and it's like, okay, the Matrix, even if you take out all of the science-y, computer-y stuff, you can enjoy the Matrix for an action movie.
Oh, God.
You don't have to pay much attention to it. You can just watch like the cool explosions and the fights and the
choreography and all that.
But you really have to pay attention to Dark City. Like if you get lost for like 5-10 minutes in there, you're just not going to understand what's going on through the whole movie. So
definitely
it would make sense that for a theatrical release for a movie that's that way, that you would put some kind of like expo dump at the beginning. So people like me at least can be like, oh, okay, I know what's going on. I'm not having to follow and figure out that part of the movie. I can at least just try to figure out what's going on at the time.
Right. But the expo dump completely like just immolates like the entire like character journey of John Murdoch.
Right.
Have you seen the expo dump recently?
I saw it not too long ago, 3 or 4 years ago.
Because I don't remember what it was like.
That's the thing. That they got rid of. I'm glad they got rid of it. It wasn't horrendous, like because it wasn't that long.
Right.
It started with the stars. When it shows the stars at the beginning, it had his voice come on. So it kind of works and all that, but you don't need it.
I mean, it also takes away from the moment that you realize that he's, you know, when you find out that he can tune, it's also like, holy shit, like what's going on there? Is he part, is he part alien? Did they inject, did they accidentally inject him with some fucking, you know, some brainworm DNA or some shit like that? And to have it like, oh yeah, they came from space. Oh fuck. All right. That also kind of...
Well, yeah, because when you don't have that later on and they knock through the fucking brick wall and it goes to space, it's like, dude, this is Twilight Zone fucking writ large right here. This is huge.
That's a great description of this movie, Twilight Zone writ large.
Like, it really is, with the ideas. Like, it's fucking... It's big time with that.
It's the biggest ideas you can play with, basically, what it means to be human.
Especially in that moment when Kiefer Sutherland's character is just flipping out because he's like, this isn't the way I wanted this to go. And, you know, it ultimately ends up being, you know, he orchestrates it exactly how he wants it to. But it's funny because, you know, he's freaking out about, like, them breaking through the brick wall. And you're like, well, I mean, that's what you wanted, right? Because, like...
I think he doesn't want the despair, the hopelessness. He thinks it'll completely trash what they're doing. Mm-hmm. He also, I think he knows, too, the strangers are going to show up. Because it'll fucking alert them to where they are.
It's alerting them too early. Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. Yeah.
But it ends up okay, like you said.
Right. He's also probably kind of afraid he's going to go through, like, if they break through the brick wall, he's going to go out into space.
Yeah,
like,
that might. Like, that's a good fucking, yeah.
It's like there's a literal danger on the other side of the wall, and that's why he's like, don't break through the wall, guys. He's like,
no, motherfucker, it's outer space right there.
You will get sucked out like Alien.
And see, yeah, but it was like Alien Resurrection.
To mention the things that were, you know, have aged poorly as far as visual effects. Again, Alien? The stuff that hasn't aged poorly, and immediately it kicks in, like, to me, is the flow of the images. Like, you could watch this movie with the sound off, and it could work as a side. Like, you might not know what was going on, but as far as, like, a dream logic movie, like, it immediately immerses you in a world, and it's, like, the way it flows, the editing.
Well, they also...
The editing of images, like, is just, like...
Yeah.
What they were brilliant in doing is instead of using CGI to do a lot of the building scapes,
right?
They use miniatures,
yeah.
Right.
So that stuff it's tactile.
It gives it
a very like real feel while you know you're still watching a movie because you're like, oh, I see what they're doing. They're making it seem like it's toys.
What's going to age better too? Because when you're looking at it 20 years later now, it's like it looks exactly the same as it did. It doesn't look like shitty CGI because
that's a great point. Yeah,
and like I might be the only one here who thinks that, but I thought generally the look of the effects, even the bad ones, actually worked with the movie and the story.
It was cohesive. Like yeah, it was consistent.
It was a cohesive whole for sure. Because you know, ultimately this is a artificial world. That's been created, and so when things don't look quite right, I think it still works for the story.
It fucking, you know what? That's very true. No, because it fits with the vision of the film because it's synthetic anyway.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Yeah, and everything in this human zoo is changed a lot, and then some.
I like that too.
We're changing a lot of beds. Some.
That's the thing too, because it's about, you know, they have a part where the strangers are like talking about this piece was constructed from lost memories, you know, a piece from this time.
Yeah. And even from past that never happened, they say.
Right. And he's talking, I mean, right there, it's talking about the film in a sense too, because the film is talking about like it's pulled from all these disparate influences and this guy. And Alex Proyas, the director, right, he did The Crow. Speaking of an interesting career path.
Yeah.
I mean, he did The Crow, he did this.
He did iRobot.
He did iRobot, which honestly, I've never seen.
I like iRobot. It's
sci-fi, right?
It's weird, and people don't like it. But, I mean, it's Will Smith doing the ha-ha shit, like, but in a robot movie.
I heard it has some hard sci-fi ideas. Like, it's based on an Asimov book, isn't it?
I really like.
And I think that was the whole problem with the movie, right? Was they took an Asimov book and then they turned it into like a blockbuster movie. Yeah. And so I think, regardless of the merits of the movie itself, that was just that decision, like, kind of like
made sure that there'd be a
cadre of people who never would like the movie.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, it's based off of Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
That's Blade Runner.
Wait, you're right. No, that is.
Oh fuck! Which one is it? No.
It's Philip K. Dick.
The Asimov book is iRobot, I believe.
Is it iRobot?
He has these laws of robotics, so they can't hurt humans and all that.
The three rules. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But what else? Oh, and then he did fucking Knowing with Nicolas Cage.
That movie is unbelievable, man.
And you've watched it. We've talked about it. Gods of Egypt.
So good.
Oh my God.
Oh,
it's so good.
Wait, which is weird though, because doesn't Gods of Egypt, they have like the flat Earth thing at some point?
Yeah.
Like, with like the different sides of it. Which is in this
film as well.
Which is in this film, which I think is all just Illuminati signaling, because Alex Proyas is obviously... with like fucking B.O.B. and like half the NBA and thinking that like the Earth is flat.
I do. I know you're probably being joking a little bit here. But
I'm totally joking.
Okay.
He's like,
I was trying to do like a galaxy brain thing and didn't really work out because I'm a little drunk. So.
I think though that either I do believe this though, that either by accident or by intuition. I mean, the movie stumbles on some kind of esoteric truths.
Yeah.
About there's obvious ones about conformity and individualism. But also about the machine and how it's controlled over time and how people's lives are rearranged and these things happen and it's like they're controlling stuff on the surface and you know, the nature of our memories, like we don't know, we can't really rely. Anytime I remember what happened yesterday, I'm already making a story up. So that's like fucking.
Well, yeah, every time you touch a memory, it gets distorted a little bit more. Like you never remember it the, you know, how you did the first time.
It changes the color of a car. You start changing little things.
Or even when you tell a story, do you ever notice that, like, every time you tell a story, like, you change a detail and it either gets less funny or more funny depending on, like, just one little tweak that you make to it?
Well, that's, depending how introspective you are, you would notice that. If you're not, you don't fucking notice that at all.
Well, no, but that's just the thing that happens all the time. Like, there was a study that had said that you can judge how happy people are in their relationship by asking them how they met their significant other.
Right.
Depending on how they tell a story, if they tell it like very quickly with minimal details or whatever, like they're probably not happy in their relationship. But if they recall it very fondly and like they remember a lot of details and like
they're accessing creativity and all those passion.
There's passion for it. So it's the same thing, you know, like if you're telling a story, like you start to cut out the minor mundane details and you start to really emphasize the ones that are more interesting and conducive to the.
I have a, you
what
know,
is the core.
I have a hard time sometimes telling a story that I think is really funny, like a thing that happened to me in my life that I'm like, oh god, that was to me that was hilarious, but then retelling it out loud, it sounds stupid and kind of trite and sort of lame. And I finish the story and I'm like, that was hilarious, and nobody's laughing.
Yep, right, because no one else has your same context for the story, right? Like, you know. They don't have they're not bringing into it.
Like that story of Ronnie with the fucking, with the possums. I'm laughing because I was there that morning, but it's not a really funny story.
I thought you told a story about telling stories like right now, and it ended like that.
It did.
No, just kidding.
It fell short no matter what.
Sorry, what were you saying, Matt?
No, I was just going to say, I thought his story was funny, too. It was like, oh, yeah, there's murder afoot in your yard. Your dog's covered in blood and your wife's crying.
And I got to go. shit.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, man. But I think this movie has bigger ideas even than what it's portraying. Because, yeah, like the obvious one is like, it's the big machine underneath the machine, dude. Mm-hmm. But because even that's kind of like, oh, but you didn't really get it because it's a metaphor even deeper than that, which I think is really cool.
Bro, you lost me on the second layer.
You could take it for like the internal thing too, like the individual psyche, you know, like the city is the conscious mind and its inhabitants and all that stuff and blah, blah. Anyway, but you could take Inception like that too and all that, you know, you could take it as a.
Yeah, well,
it's an esoteric way of reading it.
It's kind of like how much of you is unique to you and how much of you has been imparted to you by forces beyond your control.
Oh, right, yeah.
Like, you know, are the most significant moments of your life things that were completely insignificant and random.
Right.
You know, like.
Oh, yeah. So it's the thing, that interplay between environment and free will and what exactly constitutes. Are you more than the sum of your memories, basically? Right. They say that verbatim in the movie.
Yeah, that's I think you're right, Red. That is really the theme at the core of it.
Right.
Is the human soul something more than the sum of its memories?
Right.
But then like what happens when you lose your memories? I mean, you don't have a soul anymore.
Well, I mean
they start with that. And that's that I think
they pay that off at the end though.
Cuz you're leading it started going there earlier. He is who he decides to be. That's the thing. That's the existential. I'm sorry to use the word, but that's existentialism in a thing. Like he is, you know, he's in the middle of space and he's got this ship and he's like, okay, well, this is what I've got. So I'm going to make my world from this. Like he's like, he's not like, fuck this. I need to get out of here. He's like, this is what I have to work with. So I'm going to make it my own.
He just Thanos them.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to take what I'm familiar with and make it better. I'm going to make the best possible version.
He's going
to. She asks him at the end, what's your name? And he's like, John Murdoch. Because it's as good as any other name.
Yeah.
He doesn't
have
his original.
It's all basically useless. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what the whole point of that was? Of right. Like, why did he just tell her his name? Like.
Right.
And it doesn't matter. He is who he decides to be from now on.
Yeah. And from a screenwriting and character development perspective, that was like a complete circle.
Yeah.
Right there. So like he wakes up bent up. He doesn't know who he is. He finds out his name is John Murdoch. And she knows who he is, and you know, but you know, at the beginning,
right.
But then at the end, she doesn't know who she is, and he knows who he is. So it's a complete inversion of like where they start. Starting point.
And they're at the beach, and when the camera cuts, he throws her in the water. So it is a full circle. Starts in water, ends in water.
Whoa!
It does. It's
baptism. A lot of water stuff. By the way.
Yeah. It's rebirth.
There's a lot of symbolism stuff in here, which Proyas is big on. Production design heavy people are always big on obviously visual motifs.
Yeah, it's like layers and layers and layers. Like, figure it out, stupid.
You're like, yeah, where his uncle is. Was it his uncle? He's at Neptune's something or whatever, right? Or Poseidon's thing.
Sure.
You remember what I'm talking about? It's
yeah.
It's
oh yeah, the aquarium type deal.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's Neptune or Poseidon. I forget which name they use. It's the same god, different names. Yeah. If it's Greek or Roman.
I think it's Neptune in this.
He's the god of the under the ocean. Which is
under
the sea with the fucking Sebastian the Crab and the subconscious and the
darling,
fucking.
Darling, it's better down where it's wet.
Take it
from me.
Yeah.
What do they got? A lot of sand. Ironically, we have a lot of sand.
They have more sand. They cover more of the earth. That's dumb as fuck. That's good.
While we devoting our time to floating under the sea.
That was my Little Mermaid joke, dude.
What's your favorite part of Little Mermaid? Mine's with the French chef.
Mine is the boobs.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay.
Yeah,
well,
right?
Well, okay.
I'm talking about a French chef, and you guys got me with boobs.
Boobs. Ariel comes out of the water shell boobs.
All wet, and she can't talk. Up there.
That's what I want, a woman all wet who can't talk, and sexy as fuck. Just shut up and look good.
And that's it for Who Goes
That's there? It for episode 260.
Episode 270 food.
70.
What did I say about Indonesia?
I don't know. I'm out.
Oh, God. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're all getting canceled for this shit.
If Ron Jeremy's getting fucked over, then we're toast, dude.
Did you guys notice the similarities between the strangers and the Mogwais? Like how,
They can't get wet.
Can't get wet. Go in direct sunlight.
He's gone.
Vampires, Mogwais.
That last vape session he just had, that was it.
I'm not getting anything out of this pen, dude. It's pissing me off.
I did notice the similarity between, we mentioned the Matrix. The strangers of the Matrix are the agents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah. And then, it's not a complaint because, again, it's like, if you try to pick this movie apart, like, why are they using knives? You know,
It's stylistic. Who cares?
It's more. Yeah, intimate. It doesn't work like that. It's dream logic. Like, and that's why.
Yeah. Why do Cenobites use chains? Who gives a fuck?
Exactly. Right. Like, ooh, it's, because I remember years ago reading some review that trashed this, and it's like, oh, and you know what they do to kill people? Because watch out, because it's really spooky. They use knives. And I'm like, wow.
See, but that's the problem right there is that it was marketed as a horror film, which is why I went and saw it initially in the theaters. Because, I mean, this isn't a movie I would have gone and seen on my own. Like, it was presented like a horror film, and it's not a horror film. Like, I mean, there's horrific elements in it. And you could make the argument, but this is a sci-fi film. Like,
with very strong stylistic gothic horror flourishes.
So I think that the knife choice is actually extremely significant to the plot.
Yeah.
In a way. So this is a world where guns exist, right? Where, like, Bumstead, the inspector, has a gun.
Right.
Guns exist. The strangers allow guns to exist. They allow guns that can harm them to exist. Right. And I think a lot of this goes back to their problem in the movie, which is that they're a complete collective, which with no concept of individuality. Right. And so that's why they allow the guns to exist, why they allow guns to harm them in the reality that they themselves have created, and why they use knives is because it doesn't matter if a human has a gun and kills one of them, because they are all of them. They are a collective entity.
Oh, so it's right.
They also have that shin, so couldn't they just like stop bullets?
So you mean it's the
they got the shinin.
It's kind of the hubris of a collective perspective they share.
Like, exactly.
They're not worried about these people having guns.
Right, and they can sacrifice as many of themselves as they need to.
Because they're just cells in the body.
Because they don't matter.
Yeah, they're just cells in the body, right. Yeah. Right.
Plus, like, if they die, like, the little jellyfish guys can just come out and go get another husk, right?
That's right.
Isn't that just a thing they can do?
They use the dead as vessels, dude.
That, which, when you think about it that way, because, like...
Which is a good line.
Well, at first...
Dead as vessels.
I'd been like, okay, so these are just like an alien race. They're just weird things. But when you realize that they're jellyfish creatures that use humans as husks, there's a lot of dead kids in this fucking world. Like,
that's right.
There's a bunch of these
That's why
young strangers walking around.
If you watch this and the Epstein thing, you start to see what's really happening.
See, right, you see the cracks in between the floorboards.
Well, that is some galaxy brain shit right there, man.
Oh, one of my favorite things. Speaking of the children, is when was it Mr. Rain? Is that the name of the little kid?
Oh, I don't know.
Where he chews on Homeboy's hand.
Oh yeah,
one of the funniest.
I love that there was a guy named Mr. Hand because I just kept thinking of South Park.
Mr. Hand.
Fast Hulk. Times.
Aloha,
Mr. Hand.
You dick.
You dick. Yeah, the names were hilarious too. It was like Mr. Bike.
Mr. Well, Book.
Dude,
Mr.
but
Book.
No, I mean, the way I see it is like that's so this alien race is dying out and they're trying to figure out how they can sustain themselves, how they can continue living. And they're thinking that humans' individuality is something that can help them survive. So the fact that they have names like of things that they see, like Mr. Book, Mr. Hand, Mr. Coat, Mr. Rain, shows that they have like no real concept of what it is to be an individual.
To have
like,
a self.
Yeah, to have a self. Yeah. They're just finding these things and they're just identifying as these things.
It's like the first thing they touched in the human brain.
Or is it a hint that they actually do have that capacity within themselves? And that this whole, like, creating this human zoo experiment is a complete fucking going down the wrong road when they had the power inside themselves the whole time.
It was the alien jellyfish inside you all along.
Well, that's a good metaphor for the individual watching it, too, because the movie is a very, like, with its ideas, it's really cerebral. It's got a lot of heady ideas.
Yeah.
But its biggest attribute, like, in this climax, is its emotional capacity, meaning, like, what it's actually... It is huge that like when it tries to give you a nice emotional payoff at the end and make the point that they were looking in the wrong place, that it actually lands, because that could be a horrible ending if they fucking didn't land that with, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It could come off really corny and ruin the fucking film, but like it lands really well.
Yeah.
Like when he makes the beach and he makes the water go out of the, and it's like really poetic imagery and the sun. And like as much as you know, we all like dark, gothic fucking spooky looking shit.
A nice beach is pretty all right.
By the time the beach comes out in the sun, I'm like, yeah, I'm ready for this fucking.
Well, yeah, even those
to weaponize the trauma.
You know, even those moments,
weaponize the trauma. Well,
that's
where John is asking the detective. He goes, "What's the last memory you have?" And I'm thinking to myself, "What's the fucking last memory I have?"
It's
fucking me up, dude. Because I go.
Right?
I go, what is the last memory I've had? I go, I was at work for 8 hours, and that time just fucking disappears.
I remember walking into George's house an hour and a half ago.
It's about mindfulness there, too. Like, am I present for my own life?
Yeah.
That whole fucking
thing. Oh, yeah.
Well, the ending basically is a metaphor that says, yes, you are. You are the creator of your own world. You're responsible for your own existence, and your life is what you make it. There may be outside forces that are being like, hey, this is how things seem. This is how things should be. But ultimately, you're the one with the power.
Ultimately, dude, make
in your
beach
mind or in
fuck
your heart. Because they're like, you're not going to find what makes you
fuck
human up here.
Fuck the beach.
Fuck every grain of sand on the beach.
Fucked on the beach. It's not fun.
It's not.
Yeah. It's a different part of your biological anatomy.
Yeah.
That's
right. Find it in here, in your heart.
Fuck with your heart.
That climax where he gives them the... Oh, by the way, I love the sound with the fucking... like when they're injecting in the head.
Oh yeah, that's dope.
That's pretty good. That's some good that ASMR shit.
ASMR. Yeah,
that's some ASMR shit right there. Oh, and
Rich is listening to mechanical whirring and like
it's just
my brain tingles.
It does.
Author and Punisher fucking drilling outside
it's a
of his
good
head
marriage of,
off balance like, washing dude, machines just clunking.
Because even if this was all style and no substance, it would still be impressive stylistically, but it's got plenty of substance. So it's a fucking like rare marriage of the two, you know? But
fucking Rhett's brain is just an off balance washing machine going ka-thunk, 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 ka-thunk.
Every now and then.
Dude, that beat is tight.
It's nothing but fucking odd time signatures. Like when it goes to a 4-4, it's like a celebration. Like, oh my God, wow.
It finally resolved.
Well, kind of. That's kind of how it goes. Yeah. Thanks, man. You get me, man. After all this time.
After all this time, motherfucker.
That hasn't changed really.
Shit.
What the fuck was I talking
about? I don't know. Who cares?
No, it was good. Oh, when they give him the... When Kiefer Sutherland gives him those... The D. When he gives him the D to the forehead and he gets all those memories he implanted himself in, that's fucking badass. Because I remember that making my head like
tingle literally in the theater about like what that means, because he's getting a lifetime of experience through these memories. And again, it has a direct analog to the Matrix when Neo, they start downloading
kung fu into his head. I know kung fu.
Yeah, they download stuff into him and he has the experiential knowledge.
I've had a normal life.
Well, and it creates this idea in your head like, whoa, like what if I can like change my wiring, so to speak.
Yeah.
And now I don't want to get too nerdy on here, but neurogenesis, you guys heard of this?
No.
You can literally carve new neural pathways in your brain. So it changes, and even on DNA, like the stuff you're passing to your children,
right?
Like it's more individually centered. Like they're finding more and more that you can literally change your own neurology, and it does impact the RNA and the DNA sequence.
Unless you're old as fuck, then you can't do shit.
Like there's stuff like CRISPR where you can like just edit your own DNA sequence.
Actually, did y'all hear about this shit? Recently, there's this African American woman who was involved with CRISPR. CRISPR medicine, and they actually
Crispin Glover
they actually reversed her sickle cell anemia.
Wow.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking gnarly. I just heard about it on NPR today.
Wow, that's fucking crazy. It's fucking
they watched Dark City and got that idea.
Talking about horror movies or writing horror books, that's actually what I do.
Yeah.
So they're actually fucking
DNA.
Yeah, I fuck with DNA.
I didn't know you did that.
And that's not a joke about me jizzing on your face either.
Ooh. We all fuck with DNA.
I fuck with DNA. Well,
yeah, but do you drink your own DNA? Yeah,
every time,
you want to know what it tastes like, right?
Honestly. I mean, yeah.
I know what mine tastes like.
Yeah.
Hey, wait, what do you guys think of Jennifer Connelly in this?
I thought she was pretty cute, actually.
Okay.
I enjoyed her, but I thought she was a little bit underutilized at the end.
I agree. Definitely. Yeah, you actually said something not silly. I was going to say...
I've been talking about spraying DNA all over everyone's face.
No,
yeah.
No, you're right. I agree with you. I was thinking about...
It took it by surprise. Like, you actually said something not silly.
No, he's been making a lot of good points. What I mean is I was going the silly, stupid route. No, but... Because
I try to keep people off balance. Joke. Important point.
He had that gun that the fucking barrel was curved back at him, and then he was like, "Oh shit!"
No, but I was being stupid about, because Jennifer Connelly is really, really beautiful.
Yeah.
And this, I was like, did she get a fucking nose job? Because her nose looks completely different in this than it does now. And I fucking made the mistake of googling this.
Yeah.
She had
some work done. Yeah. Really?
Yeah. I was thinking about like Requiem for a Dream and the ass to ass. I'm like, dude, her nose doesn't look like
that. The body dysmorphia of Hollywood is real.
Yeah. But anyway though, I thought like throughout a good portion of the movie, she has a good deal of agency and she's kind of like a sleuth in the movie.
Right.
That noir detective, like she is playing that role in addition to Bumstead.
Right.
And then at the end, she just completely drops away and becomes the damsel in distress. And I thought that was
kind of a waste
of her character.
The memory wipe stuff on her is it kind of feels weak. A little bit.
Yeah. I think Price leaned too heavily into John Murdoch as Jesus type thing at the end.
Well, that's an archetypal thing. That's what I mean. Yeah. I feel like this is...
I think you can lean too heavily into an archetype, though.
You're right. You're right.
Just like in
Short Circuit 2, where he became
literal Jesus.
Yeah. They really leaned into...
Or in Prayer of the Roller Boys, when Gary Lee is like supposed to be the Christ-like figure.
Got him.
In the end, he turns out to be the more of a the King Herod.
All right. Well, that's the Who Goes There podcast for episode 260.
Wait.
We're done.
Wait.
No, we're done.
Wait.
We're done.
King Herod.
King Herod. King Heron.
Bye.
William Hurt is the shit. I love how he always looks suicidal. Thank you.
Cool.
What about Rucker Howard?
What about him, though?
He's pretty tight.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
What are we watching next week, though, dude?
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, that was the rep.
Prayer of the Roller Boys.
Somebody sent out a text the other day that was like, if we could take a few minutes tonight to plan out the next few weeks, that'd be really cool. But I don't know what happened.
I said like 9 fucking things.
All right, idiots. Well, we'll come back next week to talk about something. I feel like I always say that, I'm always surprised that
you're always right, because we're always back talking about something.
We're talking about the DDD.
All right.
I enjoy your intestines.
Righty, that's the Who Goes There podcast for this episode. See you later, fucks. I hate your guts.
Mean. Very mean.
Oh, that's so mean.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.